We're set?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ellen. I'm a grateful compulsive eater.
Hi, Ellen.
So this is a step meeting. And I'm going to read in a minute something from the four today that relates to this step. But I just want to qualify briefly about my background. I came into OA my first meeting was in 1969, and I began working the program in 1970, and this was in Southern California. I'm just going to say a little bit about my background. I stopped weighing when I was 200 pounds, so I don't know how much I weighed after that. As a child, I grew up in a family of compulsive eaters. I have a first cousin and a half-brother, first cousin on my mother's side, half-brother on my father's side, who died of morbid obesity. And there but for fortune go I. So it's a matter of life and death for me. This program has taught me everything I learned about how to live life. I really did not have any skills or tools before that. And I believe that if one works the 12 steps of this program, it's possible that the promises of the program will come true. You know, this program is based on the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I came into this program because the person who got me to this program told me I ate like an alcoholic drinks. And she was right. And I didn't know anything about OA. But I heard about it after that, went to the first meeting, and I don't want to spend too much time on my past. But I will just say I was an agnostic or an atheist in those days. So the whole idea about God that was being talked about at the meeting, we had alcoholics who shared in the meeting in those days because we didn't have very many people in OA with long-term abstinence. OA was really new in those days. But I identified, and I really appreciated the honesty that I heard at the meetings. So I lost about 50 pounds the first year in the program, and then started binging again. I took off the rest of the weight once I started getting honest with a sponsor and working the steps of the program. Just to say that I moved to Northern California in 1975, and was in a relationship that I really couldn't talk about. And always the only place I've ever been really able to be totally honest. And because I couldn't talk about that relationship because I felt really ashamed about the relationship, I stopped going to meetings. I put back on about 25 pounds, and it was a real low bottom. I started going to Al-Anon at that point, and the person who was sponsoring me in Al-Anon said, you better go start going back to OA again. And in 1980, I came back to OA here in Northern California, and I've been abstinent ever since, so that's 36 years. Yesterday, I was with somebody who I'm sponsoring, and we were talking about how is it possible to be abstinent this long? And I don't honestly know. I mean, I don't know why I'm so blessed. I know I work the program really hard. I know that every day I do my best to do what the program tells me to do. And frankly, compulsive eating is not an option. So there's no, you know, there's a period when you first get abstinent in OA where it's a pretty big high, and you feel like all your problems are solved, and you don't really need the program. And I think a lot of us have been there. I certainly have been there. But for all these past years, I know that I'm one bite away. Every day, I am one bite away. So I have to do all of the, use all the tools. One of the things that I talked about yesterday, when this person asked me how is it possible to be abstinent for so many years, is that because compulsive eating is not an option, I have to change. I have to deal with the things that would cause me to eat. And that's where the steps come in. Step six is not in isolation. The steps were written in a very specific order. And they're written in that order for that reason, that you take them in order. So, you know, the beginning is where you first surrender to being a compulsive eater. And then the rest of the program, and it talks about this in all of our literature, this is a spiritual program. It's not like a diet club. So, you know, the steps that we're talking about, including step six, are all about God, are all about higher power. So for somebody like me, who was an agnostic or an atheist when I came in, it was a big leap. And for a long time in the program, what I did was act as if, which is what they suggest you do when you don't have a concept of a higher power. But little by little, and over time, because I was willing to really do what the program told me to do, I developed a concept of a higher power that works for me. And I had to give up the concept of a higher power that I had been taught as a child. I want to read one of the pages in the For Today, which is one of our daily readers. And it says, "I did not deliberately choose my faults, but neither do I have to be afraid of letting them go. I can establish what they are. I have many more faults than I'm aware of by taking steps 4 and 5, and I can abandon them in steps 6 and 7. So I'm going to keep on going, but I just want to say something about that. After step 3, where you make a decision to turn your will and your life over to God, step 4 tells us we have to do a fearless moral inventory of our lives. And it was really the first time that I really, and I've done many inventories since then, but the first one I did, it's the beginning of our really looking at all the baggage we have carried around forever. You know, not just the physical weight, but the emotional weight of a lot of stuff. I was somebody who kept a lot of secrets and lied about a lot of things that I didn't want people to know about me. So step 4 was the beginning of my getting rid of, at least putting down on paper, the things that had been, you know, weighing on me for many years. And as I said, I've taken many inventories since then, but step 4 is where all you do is just take stock. It's like, you know, a business, taking a look at what's there and being honest about it. You know, this is a selfish program. There's no point in my continuing to lie. I'm not going to change if I keep on lying. So I need to tell the truth. And step 4 is the beginning of that process. Step 5 is where I admit to God, to another person, and to myself, to God, and another person, the exact nature of my wrongs. So that's step 5. Step 6, which is what we're addressing tonight, is where I humbly ask God to lift my defects of character. And it says, the way the step is written, I want to say it exactly, we're entirely ready. Step 6 is we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So step 6 is where all I have to do is acknowledge I'm ready. There's nothing to do beyond that. But I have to be ready. And there's a lot of ways in which I've done step 6 with various people and with sponsees and myself too, where you know, that even you have to be really honest about, am I really ready to let go? A lot of these defects of character are things that have served me for many years and are habitual. And so am I really ready? And that I don't have to do anything more than that. And if they say you don't think you're really ready to let go of all your defects of character, are you willing, at least willing, to consider letting go of them? And then that's really step six. And then step seven is where you humbly ask God to lift them. But there can be a lot of time that takes place between six and seven where you really do have to look at becoming ready. The way the program has worked for me is that six and seven are a process where I've done my fourth step, I've given away my fifth step, I'm ready to have these defects of character that I've uncovered in step four lifted. In step seven, I humbly ask God, but then what I've discovered is that it's not like there's this white light that comes down and you get zapped and all of a sudden you're, you know, a changed person. For me, it's been God gives me the opportunity to change. I get the choices that I've had to make all my life. And so here's this decision I have to make. Am I going to lie? Am I going to do what I've always done in the past, which is maybe compulsively eat and avoid dealing with it? Or am I going to let go and let God? And then what happens is I'm presented with a situation where I could have the option of behaving in a new way. Sometimes I'm able to take that option and sometimes I'm not. I think change happens like this. And I think the road gets narrower so that as I change, you know, sometimes I can recognize what's happening and say, oh yeah, I see that that's happening again. I did it again. I did something that I'm not proud of. But what happens is it's harder for me to live with it. It's harder for me to get away with it. It's not so easy anymore because I'm not eating compulsively. The way it worked for me in the past was that I could stuff down my feelings with food. And so I could pretend, at least temporarily, that whatever I was feeling guilty about didn't happen. Today that doesn't work. So I have to feel my feelings and I have to do what I feel I'm being guided to do. So for me, that's the way change has happened, is that I get an opportunity to change. And, you know, gratefully, I've changed a lot of things. I don't have to do some of the things I used to do, some of the behaviors that I used to have. And they ask you, so in this particular reading, it says, do my faults include any of these? Sloth, bad temper, promiscuity, rudeness, dishonesty, child abuse, violence. And if you look at the OA 12 and 12, there is a lot of questions around behavior. And, you know, I think whenever I get to read that chapter in the OA 12 and 12, and we get to really look at our behavior, everybody in the room is nodding their heads. It's, you know, we're all part of this. We're all human. And so there's not this perfection that is being asked for. I think my goal in this program is to stay abstinent, number one, and two, to be the best possible Ellen I can be. I can't be what my parents wanted me to be, what everybody else thinks I should be. It's very important for me to try and be as authentic as I possibly can. And for a long time, that was my goal every year in program. I would work on authenticity because I used to feel like I wore a lot of hats and I would put on a different hat depending on who I was with and where I was. And the goal in my life was to be the same person all the time. And a lot of the time, that's pretty much true these days. It's not always somebody I like. I'm not always happy. I mean, this is not a magic pill where you get exempt from problems in life, but you get a way to deal with them. So, you know, there's a lot of things I'm powerless over. I have, you know, if we had more time, I'd talk about, I have a daily routine that I do where I pray and meditate every morning. I run a 10-step every night. I go to meetings. I make phone calls, use all the tools that Maya talked about. And it's a daily process. It's a one day at a time thing. So that's how, thank you. So that's how it's gotten to be so many years. One day at a time, by staying abstinent and working to the best of my ability, the steps of the program, I feel like a lot of the promises that have happened to me in my life, and I've been led through a lot of very difficult situations, and I'm deeply grateful. I feel like the program saved my life. I feel like it's possible for it to save all of us, and thank you for asking me to speak.